Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I just want to welcome you to the VFN Radio program this morning. Joining me to encourage you, of course, is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Also joining us this morning is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good day, good afternoon, and good evening. We want to welcome all of our new listeners that are joining us in the virtual stadium. I want to welcome Mark and Sarah and William and Russell and Billy and Charlie and Henry and Catherine and Barbara and Amy and Sandra and William and oh my goodness, Nikki, Robert, Carol, Rebecca, so many new listeners join us in the virtual stadium. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We'll give a shout out to Houston, to Nagina, the encourager. Good morning, Nagina. Good morning, Joanne. And good morning, Craig. You are listening to VFN Radio, and we are here this Monday to encourage you to get your week off on a right start, on a light start, on a righteous start, under the blood of Jesus. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Here we are on Monday. Wonderful. Nothing. You know what's so good about Monday? You know what's so good about Mondays?
Tell me.
It's Monday. This is a day that the Lord has created. You know what I'm saying? It's a day to be excited about. So many people have, you know, I think more negative things have been spoken against a Monday, you know, and more positive things have been spoken for Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of unfair, you know, it's kind of a day that gets abused. It's like, hey, you know what? There wouldn't be a Friday without a Monday. You first got to have something that begins.
That's right.
You know, you can't enjoy the ending if you didn't have a beginning. You know what I'm saying? It would all be Monday in your mindset if there wasn't a Monday. Your Friday would be a Monday. So you got to appreciate Mondays because by the time Friday gets there, you wouldn't be as excited about Friday, right?
That's right.
It'd be just one long Friday, right? And it's just so cool about Mondays. We get a chance to meditate on, and so many of us have gotten together in our gatherings and heard the Word of God taught and fellowshipped and prayed for each other and just been encouraged by the Lord. And it's time for us just to, we're just filled up, and it's time for us to pour ourselves out like a drink offering to our families and our friends and our community, and just love one another, let others know that may not know yet that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. And we may need to remind them. You know, we all need reminding.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And if you think you don't need reminding, you need reminding.
Yeah.
Because the enemy does a lot of things to cause us to busy our minds or distract us or forget this awesome inheritance that we got with God through Jesus Christ. You know, salvation. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God.
That's right.
Is that not cool or what?
Very cool.
John, you're not going to believe this. Donna's dad passed away, you know, went to be with the Lord last December. So this will be our first Christmas without having her father with us. And just an awesome man of God. And she's, you know, when that happens, you need to go through the things. Then you're going through all the different stuff. And she was going through some of the things this weekend. And she found a lot of things, but she found a menu from when the Brownsville Revival was going on. Mm-hmm. And what happened was it was a revival. Brownsville Revival started Father's Day of 1995. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the power of God was just being poured out. The love of God was being poured out in a powerful way. And the church was being revived.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole world was coming, and the doors didn't open up till around, you know, 7 p.m. or 6 p.m., depending on what day it was, mostly 7 p.m. But people would come, and they would stand in line.
Mm-hmm. Early, like at 6 a.m.
Like at 6 a.m. And they would stand in line all day long. There was a sidewalk that went straight down the middle of the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they would stand. That you could probably go about 12 wide with that, maybe a little bit wider than that. But then it would just kind of spin around and just all over the place. It's big, like a big, long, winding road of people that came from all around the world and all around America. And they were so desperate for a touch of God, which I can, mm-hmm. I feel like that every day, you know, God touched me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were willing to go through anything to be there. But what happened was when you come to, it was in Florida. And when mm-hmm. you come to Florida, the climate's a little bit different than the way it is up north or maybe in Denmark or wherever you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And we started seeing people get sunburned. Of course, they're out there all day long in the sun.
Yeah.
They were getting a sunstroke. They were, you know, falling out.
Dehydrated.
And they weren't willing to give their place up in line, so they were hungry. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was so it was cool, that hunger. By the way, if you want to know the secret for God moving in your life is hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so hungry for God. It was just, nothing more beautiful than to see people hungry for God that you're hungering after. You know, it's just beautiful. But also, you know, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. And so I was really concerned about that, you know, what to do. And I was ministering to the men there on at Brownsville and to the married couples, and just felt led to begin to just meet that need out there. So
mm-hmm.
We prayed about it, and God provided a full concession trailer, like mm-hmm. it was full concession, and something I'd never done before.
Right,
and it had like we had to actually go to get our license. We had to go to be able to. We had to qualify like any national chain restaurant
right.
to get our license to be able to work in this concession stand. So Don and I went all the way to, I don't know, maybe Panama City or something, and we had to study all day long and take this test at the end. If you didn't pass it, you couldn't have a business.
Wow.
And it told you, you know, how to keep food clean, the sanitary, what degrees food need to be at, things that people have obviously forgotten about.
Right.
Or they're not teaching their employees. But we went to there, and we set up. And it was so wonderful because we met people from all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading some of the statements right here about it had a menu. And on the menu, it had things like a map where everything was located at. It had times of services and, you know, who was speaking at the services probably that night or whatever. It had the local hotels mm-hmm. of places because when you come in town, you don't know anything.
Mm.
So we gave them all the hotels. What the sales tax was on the hotels was 11% at that time, in addition to the price and
oh, wow.
all right. the phone numbers and addresses. And as a matter of fact, somebody was upset because they were getting all the business, I guess, and we were actually referring them to the entire city of Pensacola. And we even took Visa, MasterCard, and debit card.
Wow.
And we had ice cream and hot dogs and barbecue, umbrellas, sunscreen. We had all the different stuff. Remember Jason wow. Tarasas out there with us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just a wonderful time. And, you know, of course, yes, Lord, we will ride was what was mm-hmm. said quite often. But it was called the Lighthouse. And it said, yes, Lord, we will serve. And we spent all day, you know, in these crowds. It was the most wonderful experience to see, you know, the real church, you know, where everybody's coming from. It's all great diversity. So I met Paul Dugard. Remember Paul Dugard with Denmark?
Yes.
Mm. You know, Paul Dugard, Promise Keeper. You know,
Promise Keepers,
and Death for Men, which is It's for Men ministry in Denmark. And people just, it was just authentic,
mm-hmm.
the real church. You know?
Yeah, we saw some come from all across the country and the world. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, they were hungry. They were very hungry. And my heart just broke for them because,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes people get into the task mode. And in the task mode, you know, we're thinking about just this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. We got to forget. We can't forget that it may be a person's first experience. It must, you know, they're not familiar with what you're familiar with.
That's right.
And we could hurt their opportunities. We could wound their heart. Yeah, right. There was people. That was exactly right. We remember that people. One of the songs was, "Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time." And I'm going to praise his name. We had people coming over to the concession stand singing that. And as they were putting out, they put out their cigarette on the concession stand while they're singing, "I'm going to praise his name." I mean, I love that because it's just the authentic, you know, raw people in love with God and God showing his love to them. And it was just, it's exciting and a powerful thing. And so, but yeah, she found the menu. We might make this available on the VFN Torch. You got to see this. This is definitely a keepsake.
Oh, yeah.
But we even explained about heat exhaustion, because what happens is you start getting headaches, muscle fatigue. I mean, people got ran over by cars. Yeah. I mean, this is like hundreds and thousands of people that are standing in line. And sure. It's not some small line. And so it was a lot of people to take care of. And it was just exciting to sit and talk to them. And chairs, I think we even gave them chairs. Didn't we have chairs for them?
Chairs. All sorts of stuff there. And wow. The thing, too, that nobody was there serving them. You know, that part of town didn't have any of those resources. So it was just a great, great way to provide an awesome need.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, we had chairs, comfort items, sunblock, large umbrellas, bags of crushed ice. Oh my goodness, ice cream, shaved ice. Remember the shaved ice?
Listen, you forgot about the Godfather's Pizza there. I have not heard that on that list.
I said it earlier. Godfather's Pizza. Yeah, remember you took it home. All leftovers you take home every night.
All the leftovers.
That and a McDonald's bag in your refrigerator. The Lay's Doritos, pickles. People love pickles. Lemonade, bottled water, coffee. Wow, we were fully equipped, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Honey buns.
Oh yeah, honey buns and all that wonderful stuff. And it was just such an honor, though. It just felt like such an honor to be there for the people and get to meet them, because you're meeting the people from all around the world. Because once you get inside of the revival services, you know, because everybody's focused, their focal point is on the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and in one area, one direction, so you can't get a chance to meet them all. We spent days and days and days with them, and but like years, I don't know how long it was, but it was a long time. And I know that, you know, you came out there and to help and work with us, serving them. You did a really wonderful job, you know, meeting the guys and all that. Wasn't it cool?
That was very good. It was an amazing, amazing time. It was back in 90-something, 95.
It was 1990, I don't know, 8 maybe?
A long time ago.
Yeah, 1998, something of that nature. I'm not a date person. The if I was, I'd probably scream and cry.
Yeah, right.
Convenient things not being remembered. But the that's pretty cool. Got a chance to see that. And Bluebell ice cream. Bluebell ice cream. There's nothing. You've been in the sun all day long for 4 hours, and your flesh is screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like only so many people could get into the main building. So if you got in line too late, you would be in the overflow.
Where
the microwave beam. That's what Brother Kilpatrick was saying. So we microwaved the signal over there, and of course it was a wire. But, it was so funny. But of course, you know, Steve Whitehead with his melancholiness is going, it's not a microwave. It's like, it doesn't really matter. Does it really matter? It's just going to shoot over there. It's cool. It was just a powerful, powerful time. And what you're listening to today is a byproduct of what God did, you know, during that time in our lives. And this is a continuation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's encouraging to see those who walk through. It's sad to see a lot that walk through what God did and have basically gone back,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the religion or mm-hmm. into the world. And we have a desire to gather those across the world and join us in being the church. And
proof positive why abiding is just so important, having a personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord and not depending on having a relationship with the Lord through anyone else or any other teaching, but you got to have time with God yourself.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes time to people being healed and delivered and set free, I mean, everybody lines up for that. Even Satan lines up for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even Satan lines up for healing. Mm-hmm. But Jesus turns around, he says to the people that were all lined up for that, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's not the fact that we run after Jesus to be healed. It's just after we're healed, after we're forgiven, after we're set free, do we follow him?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just take like a restaurant, order something on the menu of Jesus, you know, and walk away. And, you know, I owe my life to him.
Absolutely. I'll
owe my life to him.
Amen.
And I'm grateful for everything he's done in my life. To everybody that's out there who experienced what's called the Brownsville Revival, I want to encourage you to share VFN Radio, VFN TV with your friends. Like us on Facebook so you can follow us. Follow us on Twitter. You go to VFNTV.com. Let's continue this conversation. Let's be grateful for what God has done, and together we can continue to let people know that God loves them and has a plan for their life. Well, you know, I got a chance on Wednesday before we wrote for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy Thanksgiving or what?
My goodness, did I? I ate very, very well. I think too much, but by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my eyelids start getting very heavy. I go, oh no, it's happening.
Mm-hmm. Called turkey toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah. OG. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time to get together with family and friends, and it was beautiful. I had a really good time.
Yeah, we went to my mother and father's home, and my children, all but my oldest, met us over there, and Mom just fixed all kinds of stuff. Oh, I mean, pecan pie, sweet potato pie. not brownies, but they're called some blondies, which is like a blonde brownie with chocolate in it or something. Chicken and dumplings, cornbread dressing, turkey. No, actually, Amber. Amber fixed her first turkey. My daughter.
Amber.
My beautiful daughter fixed her very first turkey. You know, we were kind of sweating it. We didn't know how it was going to turn out.
How did it turn out?
After 14 phone calls to her mother,
oh God,
it was so good. She is an excellent cook. It was so juicy, man. When you cut into it, it was just almost like squirt juices. It was just so juicy. The white meat and the dark meat. Even the dark meat was good. I'm not normally a dark meat turkey eater type person. Yeah. And it's probably because when I grew up, I always got the turkey leg. And it's like, okay, it's enough of that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Remember those days.
Like they're rewarding you for the turkey leg. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you a leg. Why? Because I can't have breasts? Anyway.
Exactly, Isaiah.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And so, I was surprised to find out later in years they actually sold them at the fair.
I thought
those were throwaway items. They always threw them my way. You know, the reason why is because it was always my birthday. It was always like, yeah, I would stick some candles on a turkey.
Yeah. Went a dish or two?
Yeah, it's sad to say it came again.
Yeah.
It came again.
Every year.
Yes, let's move on. And so, but yeah, she fixed turkey, and we had, you know, Blake, my son-in-law, he and I were sitting together and eating, and he'd never had cranberry. So I got to experience his first cranberry eat. I mean, he's very detailed, and of course he was...
Was it cranberry sauce or those berries?
No, it was cranberry sauce, which is like hard gelled or something like that.
Can.
Oh my goodness, you just reminded me.
Oh, did I what?
I did not have cranberry. I wanted cranberry.
You
got
to do it all
year.
Over again. You got to do it all
you
over
do it again.
Well, yeah, they don't let you carry it on the plane either, by the way. They make you get rid of cranberry sauce because it could be an explosive item.
Oh, gosh.
I'm serious because it's a gelled item.
Are you serious?
Yes. So anyway, so, you know, Blake's being a good son-in-law, and he's sitting here. He says he's going to try it. So he cuts him a little piece off cautiously, and he just eats it by itself. Mm. And he goes, oh, that's good. I said, dude, you got to have it with some cornbread dressing. A little bit of dressing and cranberry. And he ate it, and he loved every bit of it. I said, I just love him. Yeah, he's good. He's a good son-in-law.
He choked it down.
Yeah. And, I mean, God, we just had a great time, a lot of food. Of course, I just stopped at my first plate.
Really?
I stopped at my first plate.
For about 5 minutes?
10. Because it was just, I'm not used to eating that much food lately. And, but... Mom loaded us up with a whole bunch of take-home things, turkey, ham. She made ham.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I had everything but fried turkey.
Mm. Oh, who?
I tried, John, but, you know, turkey? Pat ate it all.
Oh.
I ate it all.
And then my kids ate what was left over.
Wow.
I only had enough turkey left over for one sandwich.
Oh, so you had some left over?
Oh, you mean you didn't get a piece of that fried turkey?
I didn't get it. It's totally, you know, isn't that amazing? That's wow. Amazing. But I had a wonderful time to be thankful. I had so much to be grateful for. And everybody that was there, you know, sitting at the table, you know, my parents and my family. And I was just grateful. You know, Christina, you know, came, Cindy's daughter, my niece. She was there with her boyfriend. And she's doing good because she had a car accident.
Yeah.
You know, injured her back. And she's doing better. You know, keep her in your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so good to see her, love her to death. And, of course, Jared was there, and Nikki.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, his fiance. That's my son. And it's just so cool to see everything that God is doing. God is faithful.
Yes.
God is faithful. And you know how much you love your family, and you love spending time with them. I wanted to mention, though, remember on Wednesday, you know, I wanted to be able to share, this is basically what I said, and maybe you can go back and listen to it. Was what date was last Wednesday? So somebody go back and listen to it.
21st.
You can't negotiate with evil, I think, is what the highlight's called. And specifically said, you know, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, was in Asia, and she was going to be coming back because Hamas and Israel, of course, actually Hamas was shooting missiles into Israel, and Israel was defending itself. And she was going to come back, and she was going to be the heroes who were going to negotiate with the government that she and President Obama set up in Egypt. You know, they empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. You can hear more about that. But very specifically, and that's what VFN Radio is about, and that's what we believe God for. We want to be able to tell you the news. It's not about knowing the news, just knowing the news. Mm-hmm. It's knowing what to do with the news you know. Mm-hmm. And God speaks prophetically. He lets us know in advance what's going to take place. And one of the things that the headline said, just like, you know, I was saying is going to happen, it said that, you know, Hillary Clinton comes to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, the title of that was Brokering Power in the Middle East, Hillary Clinton, Morsi, Hamas, and Israel.
Of course. And the thing is that, you know, that you understand, if you got Morsi his job and Morsi got Hamas their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow.
You know, it's pretty, there's some loyalties there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I guess people just don't know or not, I mean, God's just letting us know that the reason why it was so easy for Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood, who is the president of Egypt, to go to Gaza and negotiate on behalf of peace, settling peace between the two, is that's their militant arm. You know, that they're the ones that formed Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's who their daddy is. Their daddy's a Muslim Brotherhood. Who your daddy is? Right. Muslim Brotherhood. and by the way, Hillary Clinton's not ignorant of that.
Mm-hmm.
No,
she's not ignorant of that. She knows this. And they were setting her up. And let me tell you the next part of this unfolding prophecy. She will be the lead on the Democratic ticket for the presidency in 2016. For America. This was a ticket item. But also what I said was, you know, the thing about dealing with human beings, we each have our own authority. You know, Satan can use people and do these different things, but we still have to offer our keys over to him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's driven by greed and idolatry and selfishness and pride, we have a tendency, or man has a tendency, of messing Satan's plans up, even though we may have been used for a season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wake up and, you know, somebody wakes up and they go, hey, you know what? You know, and it happened just like that because Morsi found out, hey, the whole world's thinking we did this thing. Let's just run with this thing. And he takes sweeping, he dumps the democracy, which is like 10 days old, you know,
right.
Brand new democracy. They elected him president, and basically took over sweeping authority over the country, did away with the judges, and trumped every form of power. And he said, this has to happen at least for a year until the next one's voted in. And so they got a dictator again.
Mm.
Yep.
They have a dictator again. And what happened? Well, they had their militant arms start shooting missiles into Israel. And it's what the interesting thing is, Israel knows all this. I mean, Israel's not ignorant of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, neither is America's leaders.
Right.
And but the people, the masses of the people, you know, seem to be just, we just believe anything we're told. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And but thank God, God lets us know some things that are going on. Well, understand this. This is a major play for world power. A major play for world power, because as soon as they publicly praised Morsi, President Morsi, for walking through their plans to bring peace, he took it and he ran with it. And he said he took sweeping constitutional changes over the country, one man, and just challenged, put himself basically as a form of king. Geraldo Rivera said on Sunday on Fox News, he says, this is Geraldo Rivera now. He says, we've allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to establish their caliphate. This is what Geraldo Rivera said Sunday on Fox News. He says, we've allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to establish their caliphate.
Wow.
And a caliphate is where the Quran is the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're looking at, when you see Syria and you see Turkey and you see Iran and you see Egypt and you see Libya, you're seeing a caliphate. You're seeing people that are the Muslim Brotherhood to take power in these different areas. And if you haven't yet gone to, we need to make a vote today. We're going to go and play the segment that's called Muslim Brotherhood 101.
Mm-hmm.
If you could pull that up, Muslim Brotherhood 101, you have to understand what's really going on here. Because what's happening is the fulfillment of what we talked about in the beginning.
Absolutely.
We've been talking about this for quite some time, and you could just type in Islam or Muslim Brotherhood. Probably Islam would bring up everything inside the VFN torch and understand what's going on. And when you hear a simple explanation of the Muslim Brotherhood, it'll make sense. We'll come back right after this message. And you got to hear what's really happened. What is the Muslim Brotherhood? Who do we empower? Who do we just praise? And who just took sweeping constitutional powers? We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what's God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. That God desires to speak to you, and He's going to speak to you through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, "My sheep know My voice."
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through His Word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what He's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes,
He cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much He loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with Him and hear His voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to Him, you want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn His ways. He says, those who follow My teachings are really My disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning His ways will end up following some ways that are not His ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Find Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us in the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. So my friend, I want to say too, to those that are on our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of, a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout and Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what? I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN radio. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen. And all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like.
Wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, You can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. If we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John in the second part of the first hour. You know, we're just talking about some of the prophetic fulfillments, you know, where we're letting everybody know prior to what happened. Yes, Hillary Clinton to the rescue. She comes in and negotiates what basically was already pre-set up by her and the president. They're setting up the 2016 presidency, actually. Don't forget that we also said that when Chelsea... Bill and Hillary Clinton's daughter got married, that they stayed in George Soros' daughter's home. And he's one of the ones that are allegedly, you know, orchestrating the financial restructuring of the world right now with the euro and the dollar.
Right.
And they got something going on up their sleeve.
Yeah.
But we talked about the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, what is the Muslim Brotherhood? And I love this segment. You know, you got to hear this because this explains this Muslim Brotherhood 101. And I'm getting it from the VFN Torch, so you can hear it yourself. You know, go to the VFN Torch and type in Islam or Muslim Brotherhood. And there's so many different things as we begin to unfold. What does it mean? And the comparison, the Bible next to the Quran. And what is that? It has a comparison there. We got to God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
That's right.
A lack of knowledge. We have to understand, you know, what does this mean? And so what happened was when Morsi became president of Egypt, that the Muslim Brotherhood took over the leadership of Egypt. That's what that meant. The militant arm who formed Hamas, who's over Gaza, is the Muslim Brotherhood. That's one of their militant arms. And so you have Gaza, you have Egypt, which is the southern border of Israel. Right. Then you look at Syria, where now the Muslim Brotherhood, who actually was ran out by the present leader in Syria's father, now they're coming back in to try to take over Syria. Of course, Iran as well. They're having their inner fights and their squabble, but there's one thing they have in common is they want to destroy and annihilate Christians and Jews.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing that they'll unite on. And for that one purpose right here. But listen, the Muslim Brotherhood, this is who we helped empower. The first international speech by our president was in Cairo, Egypt. He invited 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood who were banned, by the way, from Egypt by the current Mubarak, the president at the time. And he was invited them there. He built a whole opening. He opened the door for them to take, and it happened just like he wanted it to happen. And now all this that he set up, the Muslim Brotherhood, and he's partnered with, has come in here and now was shooting missiles. And Iran provided the missiles. They came into Gaza through Egypt, and the Hamas shot them off in Gaza. I mean, that's the chain of evidence here. It goes all the way back to the Muslim Brotherhood and what's happening in Iran. So it's just for the destruction of Israel. But listen, this is the Muslim Brotherhood. This is who we empowered and who our Secretary of State just went and praised for supposedly bringing peace to the Middle East. No, the Muslim Brotherhood, I want you to hear the story of the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to kind of get a whiteboard. And you're going to be able to go to the VFNTV blog and get a detailed whiteboard drawing of this. But you're going to hear it now. And it'll explain the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is Islam. That's who's taken over the leadership in these countries, is what these Arab Spring is, and that's who's fighting for leadership in Syria at this very, very moment. So let's figure out, and let's get, you know, Muslim Brotherhood 101 and begin to understand, how did it come to this? Where did it come from? And who are they? Because our president and his people are saying that these are, he's the one that empowered them and brought them in Cairo, Egypt, and saw that they got in leadership in Egypt right now. And listen up.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad. Now, this is the ideology of the Brotherhood, and this is the same Brotherhood that has dominated the so-called Arab Spring. It has played President Obama for a fool and the West for suckers.
When you think about it, what they're actually doing is just pushing their agenda. And to us in America, and the vision of our leader is just another hole in the boat. Just another hole in the boat. To be able to bring America to its knees. I mean, think about the creed. When they talk about the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood, and you have to understand that when they say Allah is God, there's only one way to God, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. Many people talk about a Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. They talk about Jesus in the Quran. They say that he is a prophet, but he is not the son of God, and he has to come back and repent before the world, and saying, for calling himself the Son of God. And it's the total opposite of the Gospels, total opposite of the Word of God. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But you have to understand, when they say Allah is God, is their, that's their objective, they're saying that Jesus is not the Lord. It's another God. When they say that the Quran is their law, and they're saying with that that the Quran says that the Jews and the Christians are, the Jews have to be destroyed, and the infidel has to be either destroyed, convert, or enslaved. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. They want to rule on earth. They want to rule. They believe that the law should be the Quran. And when you hear jihad is their way, jihad is when you see things that happen on 9/11, when they flew two planes into the Twin Towers in New York, and they flew one plane into the Pentagon. That's called jihad. That's why they shouted out Allah Akbar, because every single day, and they're called a prayer from a mosque, which we talked about, and you can find out in the highlights, that's what they're saying. They're saying, they're calling out his name. This is something they hear continually, and they think that's actually a good thing. Jihad is a good thing, and it's actually their way. And I want you to hear it again. I want you to hear it again so you understand what the goal is of the Muslim Brotherhood. So when you see our president, you know, making a covenant with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is another hole in our boat. There's so many holes that's being put into it. It just really looks like, you know, God has taken America to its knees. Listen again to what their creed is. We're gonna, as a matter of fact, your VFN radio is not broken. You're going to hear it a couple times just so you can get it. They say you got to hear it 7 times. I want you to get this, to know it, and you can hear it again on VFN radio.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
We've got to get it. Here it goes again. Listen.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Hear it again. Listen. We got to get it.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
You cannot make a covenant with us. Listen again.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
We have to understand the reason why this minister, Christian minister, is in jail in Iran, because he refused to acknowledge Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, as a true prophet. Because to acknowledge Muhammad as a true prophet of God is to deny Jesus Christ, because Muhammad says that Jesus Christ is not the son of God. So he can't say Muhammad, and the church needs to understand, you can't say and say that Muhammad is a prophet of God at the same time say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You're denying Jesus by becoming a follower of Muhammad in Islam. No, Islam doesn't have any problem with that, because they don't believe Jesus Christ is the son of God. They believe he's a prophet. And so we have an issue with that as Christians, because we say Jesus, we know that Jesus Christ is the son of God and the only way to God, and any other way is a thief and a robber. If you have you not yet subscribed to VFN TV, you need to subscribe. It's free subscription, but you can find out in detail what I'm briefly talking to you about today on VFN Radio, because you have access to all these prophetic teachings. And one of the teachings that we're talking about, or some of the things we're talking about, is called the State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You've got to get it. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Our president has made a covenant with Islam, and through migration alone, that's how they began to take over, in the concept of Egypt and Libya, and they're trying to do it in Syria, is that America is a republic. We are a republic. When you say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, listen to it again. And this is why they want to remove it, because it talks about God and it talks about our form of government. And America is a republic. It's not a democratic government. Mm-hmm. We are a democracy where we all get to vote, we vote in the as a representative government, mm-hmm. which we used to be, by the way, a representative government.
And when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, it's I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I'm going to tell you more after this break. But listen, there's a strategy for all these holes. There's a strategy why so many people are being let come over the borders right now, and all these different things are taking place. It's poking every hole that can be poked into the ship of America so that it begins to sink, or at least gets to a lower, humble level, like he said, like the 1500s. What is the key to it? The key to it is God's people. And that's what VFN Radio is supposed to be for God's people, you know, Christians who call themselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, the church, you know, and it's not a building, it's people. Those that have gone astray, to be able to encourage you to come back, and those that are being drawn to the Lord. Listen, the hope is not political. Believe me, it is not political. The hope is us, the church, humbling ourselves, turning from our wicked ways. God hears from heaven, and he stops this plan that he intended for us.
And but the empowerment of the Muslim Brotherhood that we're seeing is significant. As you're seeing, I mean, their creed basically explains it all.
Very clear vision.
Yeah, and it was only, 19% of the church, according to George Barna, this even reading the Bible, reading the Word, which means if you're reading the Bible, then you know what it says. And you would know that you cannot accept the Bible as true and the Quran as true because they contradict each other. So you got to choose who you're going to serve. You got to say either the Quran is correct, and, you know, Michael the archangel gave Muhammad this revelation and it was true, or you got to say that the Bible is true and is written under the unction of the Holy Spirit, beginning with the disciples who walked with Jesus. Who walked with Jesus. And so, and of course, the Bible's true. But you can't say both of them true. You can't say that all these are different ways to the same God. Well, every way outside of believing in Jesus is a way to a God, but not to God. It's a way to hell. It's a way to end internal lake of suffering. And so we have right here, so when you see that the president empowered the Muslim Brotherhood to put Morsi in government, somebody says, you know, why are you focusing so much on the Middle East? Well, let me tell you something. Ever how goes Israel, so goes the church.
Absolutely.
And what really concerns me is everything that's going on, but what really concerns me is the delay for God's response for what we did.
Right.
I mean, we did have Hurricane Sandy, which is this 1,000-mile-wide storm, which is tragic, you know, up in the Northeast. But what we've done to Israel is way worse. Than Sandy has done to us. I just don't. You feel like a rubber band's being pulled away. A slingshot's getting further back, further back, further back, further back, further back. And it's like if we don't release now and it keeps going back, it's going to be way worse.
Right.
Yeah.
And but if you look and study, and you know, there's so many. I can't think of the names of them of the people, but they studied the how tragedy hits America the moment that we do something wrong to Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
And we bless Israel, then we're blessed. Mm-hmm. And it's what God said all along. But yeah, that so when we empowered and allowed for President Mubarak to be put in prison, you know, a system to come up in Egypt to put him in prison and brought the banned Muslim Brotherhood into power and now supported them in power, sent them $1.3 billion of support prior to this, knowing that the Hamas is in Gaza, is their militant arm. I mean, we're all in this. We're all in this. And to praise Morsi is to praise the Muslim Brotherhood.
Right.
And we just heard what they stood for. They don't stand for Jesus, the only way to God. They don't stand for you, Mr. or Mrs. Christian. They don't stand for Israel and the Jews.
That's right.
And so understanding that I think, you know, Sandy's small in comparison to what's going to happen in response to that, lest we repent. And I just don't see it. You can go to the VFN Torch to find out more about these, you know, how things coincide. I think it's John McTernan, John McTernan. It was called "Got a Storm Shelter for You from the High, from the Most High," and it's in the VFN Torch talking about how these things coincide with each other. How President Truman is the one that just happened to be in office at the time. FDR, by the way, who was president before Truman, when he made a covenant with was it Jordan or Saudi?
Saudi Arabia.
Within a week, he died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Within a week after that, he died. And he was basically saying, we will never let Israel become a nation again. We won't let them form. He was just set up a truce against Israel. And he lived, 7 days after that, and he died.
A week, he was gone.
Yeah. And so, but then, what do you know? President Truman came in office, and he signed it. And this is something that I'll be talking about in the second hour. The extra hour today is this. Listen, God's in control. And if the people he put in place to fulfill his will do not do what he wants, he will replace them, and the next one comes in, and they'll do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was in charge of Nebuchadnezzar. He was in charge of all, you know, he directs their hearts like a water course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important for us to honor those in authority and pray for those in authority and speak truth, but there's no reason to disrespect or dishonor. As a matter of fact, God expects us to pray, even pray for our enemies. I'm saying the government's your enemy. He says to bless your enemies and pray for them. Pray for the ones who use you. And in America, we can't complain because we choose our leaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this could have been, you know, we could have had a it could have been a crown where, you know, some father passes away and then his son just happens to be born in the family. He just takes the crown.
Becomes a king.
Right. He becomes a king. And that's forms of government. But we chose our government.
Right.
So if we can't pray for the government we chose, that's ridiculous.
This is not a monarchy.
Yes, it's not a monarchy. And we need to pray for them and realize that if you haven't heard yet, and maybe we've got a chance, we may hear it in the extra hours. Who does God love? And God loves your enemies. God loves mankind.
Uh-huh.
And he worked with Nebuchadnezzar. If you really study Daniel and how God, you know, empowered Nebuchadnezzar and he was his servant, and he used him, even though he put Israel in servitude. That was God's instructions. That's what God was doing. He got too prideful for his own good, and he got humbled for a period of time. But he got humbled to prove to us all that God holds the kings in his hands. He's the one that chooses our leaders.
That's right.
And people aren't a mistake. They're a choice. When people, human beings, decide this is what we want, I mean, God will tell us for a season, but if we're dogmatic and we say this is what we want, God gives it to us till it's coming out our nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll give it to you so much that you'll begin to cry out for me and I won't even hear you. That's what he said when he talked about when they said, we want a king instead of Samuel, you know, God's form of government. We'll talk about that in the extra hour right there. So that is the Muslim Brotherhood. That is what we've been praising. That is what we helped set in power. And that's what's surrounding Israel, the apple of God's eye. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.